So the kingdom and the thousand-year reign. Why do we need to talk about this? As I've mentioned, we're going to look at several lessons talking about this and some other subjects. And people, again, with events that are going on, are trying to bring up and tie in with the Bible that the end is coming near. Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom on this earth. Well, how are we going to approach this? I was always taught, don't study the counterfeit, study the real thing. We're going to be looking at premillennialism. There are dozens of books out there on that subject. What we're going to be looking at is God's Word and studying the Bible. They get this idea of a thousand-year reign from Revelation 20 and 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned 1,000 years with Christ. That's where they get that word from. Premillennialism. Millennial means 1,000, and people are, they don't understand the Bible. They don't understand the difference between the end time, the rapture, destruction of Jerusalem, the book of Revelation, premillennialism. I'm going to have a lot of slides up here this morning and a lot of scriptures. So I'd ask, you know, you watch the screen this morning because you'll be asking a question later if you're not, because I'm going to go through this kind of fast to cover a lot of information. So the Bible nowhere teaches a literal reign of Christ upon the earth for 1,000 years. This is a doctrine that's in the mind of men. It's not in the Word of God. And again, for millennial, 1,000, premillennial, there's premillennialism, postmillennialism, amillennialism, that's what we are. We are amillennialists. We do not believe in a thousand-year reign. Just like the word theist and atheist, a belief in God, and those that do not believe in God. The Bible teaches that the kingdom of Christ is spiritual. It's not physical in nature. And again, why do men come up with these other ideas? They go to other books. And if a book says more than the Bible, it says too much. If a book says less than the Bible, it says too little. If a book says the same as the Bible, we don't need it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, there's a warning there about adding to the things that are written in the book. Some people still don't understand that you've got to go to the Bible. And if we still need another book, then we don't believe in the all-sufficiency of God's holy word. And we need to spend more time in God's word. I had a study with a Jehovah's Witness one time, and he kept saying he couldn't understand the book of Revelation till he understood the book of Daniel. And he kept going like this, and he said, "When I read that book on Daniel, I understood Revelation." And I said, "Daniel isn't that big." And he goes, "Oh no, our book on Daniel." And they have books and books and books, the Jehovah's Witness, to fit their doctrine. They aren't the only ones. A lot of people do, a lot of denominations do, and they misunderstand what the kingdom is. But in John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So what kind of kingdom is Christ setting up? Is it a physical, earthly kingdom? No, it's a spiritual kingdom. Luke in 17:20 says, "Now when he had was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And again, you have people looking and saying, look at what's going on here and what's going on over there. The kingdom is going to come. Christ is going to come back. And Jesus says, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. There's not going to be an outward manifestation of the nature of this kingdom. There was when it came into existence, and that was on the day of Pentecost. But the kingdom that Christ is establishing is established. And we need to look at how we see the kingdom portrayed throughout the New Testament. Matthew 3:2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10:7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There are 14 preachers that preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you add these up, the 12 apostles, Jesus and John the Baptist, that makes 14. Later, Jesus sent out 70 others to say that the kingdom was nigh unto you. Luke 10:9-11. So that makes a total of 84 preachers preaching it from the authority of the Almighty God, that the prophecies of the Old Testament were about to be set up. The Bible also teaches that the church and the kingdom are the same. They're used interchangeably. Matthew 16:18, and I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Well, when did the kingdom come? When is the kingdom coming? The kingdom and the church are the same. If the church has come, the kingdom has come. They are the same. Notice the church is built by Christ, and access to it, to the kingdom of Christ, is going to depend on being obedient to obeying what Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:37-47. So we can conclude from that the kingdom and the church are the same. When the kingdom is established, the church is established. When the church is established, the kingdom is established. Well, were there any prophecies of that? Yes, and when we go back to the Old Testament, all of the prophecies of the kingdom were fulfilled at the time of the Roman Empire. And you look at this dream in the book of Daniel and this vision that he had with the Babylonian nation, the empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire. And then all of those were going to fall. And then what was going to come? The kingdom of God. It was going to be the kingdom that would never be shattered. It's an eternal kingdom, one that will last forever. And we can see through the Bible the prophecies from Daniel where they come to fulfillment in the New Testament. Daniel didn't have any visions about Russia or China or the United States. These prophecies about the kingdom were fulfilled during the time of the Roman Empire. But people are looking way out into the future for Christ to come back and set up a kingdom. And it's not in the Bible. They get that from listening to some man or reading some book. They can't get it from the Bible. Well, we also learn that Jesus, as the king, of the kingdom, he has all authority. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Christ is king, he has a kingdom, he has all authority. The Bible teaches that Christ's kingdom is in existence today. We don't have to wait for it to come in the future. 1 Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we were delivered from and into. Revelation 1:9, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. John says that he was in the kingdom when he wrote Revelation. So the kingdom is not something that's coming out in the future. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. But if the kingdom didn't exist, Peter didn't get to use those keys. Why would Jesus give him the keys to open the kingdom and then the kingdom be coming a couple thousand years later? Isaiah 2 prophesied that the kingdom would be established and would go forth from Jerusalem. And the kingdom to which Peter was given the keys to open the kingdom, where was that established? It was established in Jerusalem from Isaiah 2 on the day of Pentecost, approximately 30 AD, when the power of the Holy Spirit came. That's when the kingdom came. And Jesus said the Lord's table would be in his kingdom. Do we have any examples of the Lord's table and the kingdom? Sure, in 1 Corinthians, talking about the Lord's Supper. So the kingdom was in existence. But friends, premillennialists think the kingdom of Christ was something that was political and literal, a political kingdom like that of Solomon or someone else. But what did Christ say? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So when they are looking, when our friends, our premillennial friends are looking for Christ to come back and set up a kingdom, he never intended to set up a physical kingdom here on this earth. This convinced Pilate that it was not a rival of the Roman Empire. Pilate didn't see Christ as going to come and set up a physical kingdom. So the Bible teaches that Christ is king now and reigning now. Matthew 28, 18. So he reigns, stop and think about this. He reigns now before the resurrection and premillennialism out in the future. He is reigning now and we reign with him. Romans 5, 17. If he is king now and is reigning now, where is he reigning? He's reigning in his kingdom. He's reigning in his kingdom. And his kingdom, some physical place we can get into our cars and drive to, or we can hop on an airplane and fly over to Jerusalem? No, where is he reigning? He is reigning, his throne is in heaven, and he reigns on the hearts and minds of men and women. That's where he reigns. And when people are out looking for something, why do they do that? I guess it's, I don't want to say entertainment, but people are curious. They are intrigued by what people tell them. But friends, we got to get back to what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches. And the Bible, a lot of people you'll hear, and I've talked to people lately, and they'll say, you know, the end is near. Just look at what's going on. Turn on the TV, look what's going on around the cities. You know what, friends? What does the Bible say will be the signs of Christ's return? And next week, I want us to look at Matthew 24. But Matthew 24 teaches But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Nobody is going to know when Christ returns. Why do people say that? You'll see when we get into Matthew 24, they mistake the signs of the destruction of Jerusalem for the return of Christ. No one knows. There aren't signs. We read that he's going to come like a thief in the night. Does the thief in the night give us signs that Tuesday evening, I'm going to come and break into your house? No, when that thief comes, we don't know. It's going to be unexpected. That's what it's going to be like when Christ returns. The Bible teaches, well, before we go on to that, so no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There's a lot of false doctrine out there about Christ coming back in the signs. And unfortunately, that has crept into some of the churches, and we don't think a thing about it. We just go along with it and think, oh, I never thought of that. Well, we can sing false doctrine too. In the song, Jesus is Coming Soon, it's a beautiful song. It's got a beautiful melody, but it was written by a premillennialist, this R.E. Winsett. He twisted the scriptures. What was his belief? He was the Church of God Seventh-day premillennialist. He was deeply rooted in premillennialism. And somebody will say, oh, he's just using poetic license. No, he's teaching false doctrine. When these signs come to pass, there are no signs come to pass of Jesus coming back. There are no signs. You take Fanny Crosby. She was a Baptist. She was a premillennialist. And again, she wrote so many beautiful songs, a prolific songwriter. She wrote thousands and thousands of songs. And one of the words, one of the phrases you'll see in many of those songs is about, and when my raptured soul, that's part of the premillennialist doctrine. We need to be aware of that. What does Colossians 3:16 say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We need to understand what we're singing. We need to understand the thoughts of some of these songwriters. Some of them are premillennialist. We need to be careful about that. Well, why do people say, well, no, the Bible talks about Jesus is coming soon. I know it's in there. And I'll ask people, oh, really? Where does it say that? I'll challenge you. Find where it says that Jesus is coming soon. It doesn't say Jesus is coming soon. It says he's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. There's a difference between quickly and soon. And quickly is an adverb. It describes how he's coming, not when. Nobody knows when he's coming. Nobody knows. When he does come, he's going to come quickly. Revelation 2:5, I will come unto thee quickly. Revelation 2:16, I will come unto thee quickly. Revelation 3:11, I come quickly. Revelation 22:7, I come quickly. Revelation 22:12, I come quickly. Revelation 22:20, I come quickly. But people think that Jesus is coming soon is stuck in their head because they pay more attention to songs than to what God said. And friends, that's why I said from the beginning, we need to study what the Bible says and then compare everything else to what the Bible says. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father. Well, the Bible teaches that when Christ returns, he's going to deliver the kingdom up to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and all authority on power. Again, you ask our friends, when Christ comes back, what's he going to do? Well, he's going to set up his kingdom and he's going to reign here 1,000 years. No, the kingdom he's going to deliver up. What is the kingdom? Is it a physical kingdom setting over in Jerusalem? No, it's us, the souls of his kingdom. All the dead will be raised and judged according to their works. John 5:28-29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So Jesus isn't going to come back and set up a kingdom. He's going to deliver it up. Well, then what's he going to do with the earth? He's going to burn it up. He's going to burn it up. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So there's not going to be a kingdom set up here on the earth. There's not going to be an earth. So when we look at the kingdom, and we look at what the Bible says about the kingdom, we can see that the kingdom teaches the kingdom is coming. Isaiah 2, Jeremiah 2, Daniel 2, Joel 2. The Old Testament, we see it's coming. We get to the New Testament, we see that the kingdom is at hand. At hand. Matthew 3, 2, Matthew 4, 17, Matthew 10, 7. Then we see that the kingdom is here. Acts 2:16-21, Matthew 26:26-29, Colossians 1:13, Revelation 1:9. We are in the kingdom now. Then the kingdom is going to be delivered up, 1 Corinthians 15:24. But back to the passage I read at the beginning from Revelation 20:4. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witnesses to Jesus, for the word of Christ, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. See, people say, see, right there it says he's going to come back and reign for 1,000 years. One of the things we need to do when we're studying is look at all the scriptures before we start drawing conclusions. We can draw conclusions before we do, but we might make the wrong, we might reach the wrong conclusion if we don't look at all of them. And to see what the other passages teach, and when we look at all the passages on those slides I just went through, this doesn't match with the future reigning. And then somebody will say, but it says 1,000 years. Well, what's 1,000 mean? Well, that's a good question. What should I do? Should I go pull a book off the shelf from one of my premillennialist friends and see what it says? No. Friends, the Bible is its own best commentary. So what we would start and do is see if we can find some other passages that use this phrase, 1,000 years. Well, when we go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So is God going to keep his covenant to 1,000 generations, and then that 1,001, he's not going to keep it? Is that what that means? No. Doesn't mean that. Look at Psalm 50:10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. So does that mean that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and then this 1,001, they aren't God's? No. We see that this 1,000 means completeness. It's complete. And when you look at this verse that the premillennialists love, this is what they stand on. And I'm going to read this a couple times, and the red letters are questions that I'm asking on there. It's not in the text, but I want to read it through a couple times so we look at this. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or were in their hands, and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, they take that 1,000 years as a literal 1,000 years. Well, what about the beast? Do they take the beast as literal? Do they take that mark as literal? Do they take that image as literal? They don't take those as literal, but they take that 1,000 years as literal. Well, notice what the Bible says and what man says. The Bible says, I saw the souls. What does man say? I saw the bodies. There's a difference. The Bible says, they, them, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Is that talking about us? Were we beheaded? No. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Where did they reign? Where did they reign? You ask a premillennialist, where is Christ going to reign when he comes back? They're going to say on the earth. They're going to say in Palestine. They're going to say in Jerusalem. Does the Bible mention where he is reigning? Where he is reigning? What's he talking about in Revelation 20 and 4? When you are in Revelation chapter 6, and those souls that are under the altar, that are going through, have gone through tribulation and have been beheaded, they are now reigning with Christ for a time that is complete. You see, the book of Revelation gives us hope and victory. Christ is victorious. He is the conqueror. And Christ is ruling and reigning. But it's not 1,000 years here on the earth on a physical throne. You have to have help to come up believing that. You have to have somebody else read in to what the scriptures say. So again, there are so many books out there on the kingdom and 1,000-year reign. And we can do either of two things. We can study those books, or we can study the real thing. And a lot of people are really wrapped up. And one of the things, too, that is good about this time that is going on right now, it's an easy time to talk to people about the Bible and to get them to see what the Bible says. And you can just say, so what do you think's going to happen? And we were watching a show last night, and the guy was saying, yeah, it's in Revelation and the mark of the beast and this and that. And that opens the door to say, help me understand what you think. Can I share with you what I think about Christ, my King, the King that came and set up his kingdom that's in existence now, his throne's in heaven, and I'm a subject. I submit my mind, my heart, my life to him, and I serve him. There's a lot of opportunity, friends, for us to share with people. And again, I want us to look at some of these other issues. A lot of people confuse the destruction of Jerusalem with the end of time. So, back to Jesus coming soon. The Bible does not say that Jesus is coming soon. The Bible does not say that Jesus is not coming soon. What does the Bible say about him coming back? We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. He doesn't know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. I sure don't know when he's coming back. Friends, it behooves me to be prepared. Are you prepared? We're talking about Christ coming back to deliver up his kingdom. Are you part of that kingdom? How do you get into that kingdom? You're born into it. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He must be born again. What's that talking about? Baptism. We're baptized. And in Acts 2:47, we learned that when we're those that were baptized were added to the church daily, we see again the connection between the birth and the church and the kingdom. Friends, one thing is for certain. Christ is coming back. We're going to step into eternity. And something else to consider with that. It may be, who knows when, out in the future. But it may be like that message I wrote from the brother about his wife dying. We might die today, and then we aren't going to have another chance. We're going to step out into eternity. Our soul is going to go back to the one that gave it to us. And friends, we need to be ready. Friends, if you aren't ready, make your life ready today. Make your life ready now, and come forward as we stand and sing. Hear the sweet voice.